Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, third hour. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
How many D batteries, BT?
How many what?
D batteries from Do the Right Thing.
Oh, God, you're going to Do the Right Thing, by the way.
Do the read.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? You're getting about?
My bad.
You're killing me here.
Can I get 12 D batteries? 12C? D. 20. That's right. It was 20. At 12 felt like it was 20.
It's the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need cash out of your home, but a simple way to get it, Rocket can. See, I mean, that's a great movie. I also thought about Clockers. Remember the Spike Lee joint?
Oh, man.
Which is an underrated soundtrack. An underrated soundtrack.
I got to go think
about it. They got some hardcore songs on that soundtrack.
I got to go think about the
Blast with the Iron. They got some good ones on that.
Now I'm going to have to put that on my playlist for the ride home.
I'm sure you're going to have to download it. I doubt that it's there for
no,
you.
No, it's not.
Mike, is it on yours? Clockers? You have Clockers?
He's never even heard of the movie.
Oh, he's heard of the movie.
I've heard of Clockers. Of course you have. I was so young when I saw it, though. I don't remember.
How old were you? Like DTR, seven?
DTRT. That's of my
How
alley.
Old were you? What year did Clockers even come out? Let me see. I remember one Christmas. Hold on. Let me... I remember one Christmas I got...
You're like idiot savant with this stuff.
I am. I don't understand. Something, I'm definitely an idiot on occasion.
I don't understand how
you... Well, I want to find out the year that I... So I remember I got this Blaupunk. He called Blaupunk. It's a German CD system from my car. A little Honda Civic. Of course, the tinted windows, like a complete clown.
He had a box in the back.
You can only imagine what I had. I had everything. But in the trunk, I was in college... and it was five CDs. And back then it was CDs. There was no the series or anything. No playlist, it was CDs. No,
just CDs.
And I put it, we purposely had it connected in my trunk up. So if anybody tried to bust in, you couldn't probably find it.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I got that, I'm going to say around 1992, 92 or 93. Clockers in the neighborhood, 92, 93, maybe 94.
95. Mm. 1995.
I'm a bit surprised I was off on that.
I am
usually
too.
A lot better than
you are. Usually within a year.
Missed it by that many years.
Missed it by three. That's
well, I said 92, 93, 94.
You were waiting for some visual confirmation.
I was.
And I was not moving.
No, you weren't. You weren't. But why do you take the 92 and not the 94?
Because 94 is only a year off.
Exactly. So as my partner, you should say, 94, you were close. Instead, you go for the opposite,
and
you make it seem like I was miles apart.
Because you first went 92.
I did, but it was all part of my thought process.
I see. I got 92, you. So I was letting you work it out. I thought you were going to say 92.
I was going to maybe get to 95 if you let me keep going.
And the movie was a couple years later.
Yeah, no, I know.
Then I would have given you credit.
I got you. Well... This would be all sorts of interesting. Don't know if it's going to happen, but we're here for it. Deion Sanders, college coach, Coach Prime. Make sure you address him properly.
Coach Prime.
And he's doing his thing now. And it's very interesting. So Reggie Bush was on the Big Noon Kickoff. They do a pretty good job on that show, I think, on Fox. And
they do.
He was talking about Deion really trying to position him for the job at USC.
Mm.
Deion actually responded, let's play first Reggie Bush, and then we'll get to Deion, and then we'll flush through if we think it makes sense.
The last coach that USC had that was also the recruiting advantage himself was Pete Carroll, right? No other coach has been able to say that. I want to take it a step further because I do believe there is a coach out there that can help restore USC to its greatness. I believe Deion Sanders can be that person.
Wow.
That can be that person when you think about what he's done at Jackson State right now. Jackson State has the number 55 recruiting class in the nation. They're one ahead of Kansas State, which has a significantly much larger budget than Jackson State does. But what does that tell you? That tells you that Deion knows how to recruit.
That's undeniable. And when you hear it backed up, good job by Reggie. Again, that was on Fox, the big noon kickoff. When they're the 55th rated recruiting class, now not that Kansas State's going to win a national championship, but I would imagine that Kansas State's operating budget is four or five times, if not more, that of what Jackson State has right now. So that's a direct correlation. Deion's there. Kids go to Deion. Would it be the same at USC?
I mean, I don't know if it would be, if the impact would be the same. I mean, Deion is getting these, you know, recruits because he's Deion, not necessarily because of the program that he's put together yet. He is six and Samson just told me, and I forgot. I think it's 6-3 in his 2 years. He's 2-1 this year, just destroyed Tennessee State and Eddie George.
Eddie George, they hooked up a couple weeks ago.
He's doing a good job. And the reason that, you know, I think he's coaching so well is because he knows football. Right, he's like any of these guys that are Hall of Famers or were elite at what they did, and for as long as they did it, they had to be like great X's and O's guys, even understanding the other side of the ball, even though they weren't on that side of the ball. So that makes you a good coach. But the biggest thing for me is the commitment that he seems to have for this job.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that knocks a lot of would-be former players that want to be coaches out of the game is it's just tedious, man. It's a grind. And now he's been doing this for 2 years, and it feels like it's holding. Part of it's because of what he says, you know, his reaction to why he's not going to go to USC. But I think part of it, he loves this, man. Like, it's like his platform, his soapbox to stand on and preach at these guys. Not necessarily, you know, religious preach, but you know what I mean. Like, preach the game to these guys. He loves this. It's what he's all about.
I'm trying to get a sense of what. Oh, here we go. Like, I don't really know exactly what Jackson State was before Deion.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get a sense, like, did he, and I'm reading it now, like, far from moribund. They've got a pretty extensive history of conference championships, and let's see, they won one with Rick Comegy, I guess that would have been in 2007, in the 70s, in the Southwestern Athletic Conference, a lot of 8 wins, 9 wins, 9-2s, 9-3s. Again, that's the 80s and the early 90s. That's a long time ago. It's not like they're a moribund, hapless franchise with no roots. So are they winning now? And is the spotlight, well, the spotlight's there, obviously, because of Deion. But are they winning now because of Deion, or are they winning now because they've always had somewhat of a winning pedigree? I can't extrapolate. I don't know. What I do know is with the NILs, I mean, with Deion Sanders' reach.
Yeah.
See, let me take a step back. When it comes to former athletes jumping into coaching, there's two things that I need to know. Number one, are you all in?
Yeah.
And it seems like the most basic question, but a lot or not, okay?
Right.
And I believe that Deion Sanders is all in. Yeah. I believe he's all in on the coaching front.
You're right.
I do. So once you get that.
Well, he was coaching high school.
Exactly.
I mean, when you coach high school.
Yep.
You got to be all in. Now, part of it, again, is because he's coaching his kids.
His son, but still. Yeah. No, I'm with you. The essence of the game, I mean, he's got Lord knows how much money in the bank. He is now invested in changing lives, not just making better players, but making better young men. Like, Deion's heart, I believe, is in the right place, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first box that gets checked. Number two, will he hire a good staff? Would there be people, and you always talk about this, that would be willing that have been in the game coaching far longer than Deion Sanders to take, you know, a bit of a secondary role behind Deion. And now I can't answer that for them. I would think the answer would be yes, especially if it has the profile of the Trojans. So you have those two things lined up. Now you throw in NILs and, you know, his leverage, his reach, his star power. I mean, you can conceivably have 15 kids on USC getting paid millions of dollars.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
Because you might have that without Deion.
Well, I think.
But with Deion, you'll have more.
Now, Deion's son is the head.
He's at Jackson State.
He's the quarterback.
He's the quarterback.
At Jackson State.
Yep.
I feel like he has an NIL deal, and it was immediate. Like, as soon as he was on campus or the NIL deals or regulations got changed or whatever it was, like, the next day, it was like Deion Sanders son has this massive NIL deal. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's just really because it's Deion Sanders' son, not because he's, you know, he's a good recruit and he's a top recruit, but he hadn't done anything, you know, quite yet in college. But still, your instinct is right on that. I think the NIL for college players who want the attention that Deion's going to bring, I mean, they play on TV, right? Just Jackson State. It's an HBCU. You see them regularly on TV.
Because it's Deion.
And again, it's not a knock on, you know, HBCUs, but the reality is you don't see them often on television. Now you're seeing these teams on television. I think it's great for the sport.
Yep.
I think it's great for the exposure because HBCUs have had some of the greatest players ever.
Especially in the 70s, and they had a lot. Yeah, there was a pipeline to the NFL, no question about it.
Jerry Rice, Walter
Payton. Shannon Sharp, right?
Shannon Sharp, Strahan, there's a whole bunch of them. Yep. That have been amazing out of HBCUs.
Steve McNair?
McNair, exactly right. Alcorn.
Now, the only possible, well, I'm sure there's more than one, but one thing that pops into my head, like, I know that Deion's son was recruited highly as a quarterback. Mike, where did he have offers from again?
He had a ton of offers. Did Alabama, Arizona State,
to play quarterback?
Like, was he a dual guy? I don't know if he was a dual guy.
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay, but that's important, Sarkisian. Though. But Mike, that's important because if Deion wants to coach his son as a quarterback, I'm not saying he's not good enough to play quarterback at USC.
Yeah.
But he might not be. I don't know. So would Deion leave his son at Jackson State to go take the USC job? I can't imagine he would do that. And if he doesn't take it now, if it's even offered, will the USC job be offered up anytime soon where Deion could get his hands on it again if he's interested? There's a lot of things at play, but of all the schools in the country, there is nothing, even Alabama, that commands the star power, the Hollywood, the money, the glitz, almost like a professional outfit like the USC Trojans do.
Yeah.
And there is nobody more equipped to deal with that than Deion Sanders.
I agree. Shedeur Sanders was the 25th highest rated quarterback in the nation, 240th overall.
What do you mean 200? Oh, 240th best recruit over, so he was on everybody's top 300 list. Gotcha.
Yep.
25th highest rated quarterback.
That's correct.
Dual threat or just quarterback in totality?
It doesn't give.
Because they do break it down.
I think it's total, but the dual threat, I don't know if he is a dual threat guy, though, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, he's Deion's son. I'm going to guess you can run a little bit.
I'm assuming he is, but I watched one
imagine if he was slow.
I watched one of their games. He's really a drop back. He's really a drop back passer. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one.
Well, Deion did address this. Now, how much is him being honest or just maybe saying the right thing? We'll leave that up to you to interpret. But he basically reacted to what Reggie Bush said before.
I'm thankful that Reggie mentioned me. I'm thankful that he thought, much as of our friendship, that I could be a candidate or whatever. I'm appreciative of that. But I'm locked in, man. I'm locked in. I'm locked in and right where I want to be. I'm elated. I'm coaching my sons. I'm loving this culture. I want to win. Wish we would have won. But I'm locked in. That just drives me more to go get to it. That drives me more.
Okay. So.
Yeah, he was offered from everywhere.
Okay.
His son, by the way.
Now, with the transfer rule, Deion's son doesn't have to sit.
That's right.
That's something else you got to throw in there.
That's right. He's not going anywhere.
Deion?
No.
Why?
I don't see him going to USC. I see this as a larger mission.
I do too. He's very deep into the HBC. Like, it's definitely more of a mission beyond football.
Yeah,
I get the same sense.
Right. It's obviously his kids as well. Mm-hmm. It just kind of makes sense. Your kid comes. For instance, he was offered Michigan. But there were eight other quarterbacks on the roster. He was offered at LSU.
Eight. Could you imagine showing up to campus and there's seven kids in front of you?
I know.
And you're like, you have to go anywhere you want.
That's right.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, no thanks. Nothing.
That's like Marshall Faulk on the Football Life. There were like 11 kids at San Diego State.
That's
11
right.
running backs
That's
in front
right.
of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going with
Georgia
schools.
As well.
All right.
Eight on the
so
roster.
Everybody wanted him. So he was basically, could have gone anywhere.
Florida, Cornell even offered him. Baylor, Arizona State, Alabama.
Okay.
But again, a lot of those teams had guys already on the roster. But that's beside the point. The point is that he could have gone anywhere else, and maybe Deion comes along as an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
But Deion's the head coach of Jackson State. His son comes. You can put him in the position to be the starting quarterback and take a shot. He's my kid. It is what it is. And I want him to grow and learn. And so but the bigger picture for Deion, I think, is, you know, black coaches getting attention at historically black colleges. I think it's the same mission that Eddie George is taking on.
No question.
At Tennessee State. You've seen this over.
Well, Howard got the five-star basketball player.
That's right. That's right.
And then they wiped out the season.
Yeah.
But remember, that was big news too.
Yeah. I mean, it's
five-star kid.
It's becoming a greater mission rather than I need this as a stepping stone to go to the next level.
No, there's definitely a resurgence in the viability, even though it's always been viable, but in the viability, I think, in the minds of young kids.
Yeah.
Who didn't process the whole HBCU route.
That's right.
They now look at it as, no, it's absolutely changed. Let me ask you this perceptually.
Yeah.
What is more likely that USC actually offers the job, okay, or Deion turns down the offer?
What's more likely is Deion turns it down.
So you think that it's somewhat plausible that USC could actually offer him the job?
I mean, this is Reggie Bush saying this. I understand that he was, you know, banned from the university for years, but Reggie's not like a stupid person.
No.
He is highly intelligent.
Yep.
He is accomplished. He is he's got a great head on his shoulder, and I think he's still engaged. So I don't think he said that accidentally.
Agreed.
I don't think it was, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think he's hearing it in some capacity.
Uh-huh.
So I think it'd be more Deion turning it down.
You really think he would turn it down?
I do. I do. I think he wants, I think he's, I just feel like it would be a bad look in his mind. Because he takes his job. I mean, let's not forget, he was coaching high school. It's not like he was this up-and-coming, great, you know, potential coach in the college ranks. He takes the Jackson State job because he knows he's going to coach his kid.
Got it.
There's a greater mission. Remember the fanfare that he came in with and the bus? And
yeah,
like
of course.
I mean, they had a band. They had a band.
Well, all those HBCU, the bands are incredible. I mean,
that's right.
The band is the thing.
That's right. And so for him to bounce, like basically use Jackson State as a stepping stone to USC, it just kind of looked bad.
I know what you mean, and maybe he is really aware of that, but isn't, you know, if I'm thinking, I'm putting myself in Deion's shoes. If the HBCU route, in addition to being with a son, is to, you know, further enrich the lives of young minorities. I mean, what percentage of the roster at USC do you think would be minority? 70%? 70%? So you're still doing it.
Yeah, true.
You're just doing it on a bigger stage.
Yeah, but I think
it's, I know. It's, the HBCU it's, roots it's are different. About, I get you.
It's less about the university. It's more about the history.
Yeah, yeah.
That's getting now told nationally about historically black colleges and universities.
And you think that would quell a lot of the enthusiasm and a lot of the spotlight and a lot of the...
Like, it might. We wouldn't be watching Jackson State on TV anymore.
Well, I mean, I have. Have you really watched Jackson State?
I literally watched one of their games. I forget who they are playing because I wanted to see what Shador was how he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was all right. I mean, he's not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's a freshman, obviously, so he's going through growing pains. But it was an interesting game.
I mean, I'm not Jackson even watching mid level Big Ten games that don't mean anything.
They were down. They were down in the game. But I was watching it because Deion's is the coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So he draws you in. And so,
okay. All right. We're going to follow it. Be interesting. Guess what we have coming up next here, Teak?
Who's that?
Team you hate. What team you hate the most of all the football teams in the NFL?
Well, I actually kind of love this team, but what? I hate them. I love playing them, even though I hate them.
Well, we're going to talk about the Eagles. Fletcher Cox, their star. They're playing Dallas on Sunday. He's next. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what?
Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All righty, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, back on this Wednesday. Get ready for week three. And Tiki, how about this Monday night, little Dallas and Philly? Going to be sweet and joined by one of the stars of the Birds. Outstanding defensive lineman, six-time Pro Bowler, an All-Pro as well, a Super Bowl champ for the 1-1 Eagles. That would be Fletcher Cox. Fletch, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Glad awesome.
To yeah, we're glad to have you on, man. You've had an outstanding career so far, and we're excited for what's happening forward. Well, kind of not really because I'm a Giants fan, but you know what I mean. This offseason, you guys got a new head coach, and Nick Sirianni, and we all saw the first press conference and what he was trying to get out. And it's like, oh, this guy doesn't know how to be a head coach in Philly. What's he actually like now that you guys have had him for, you know, the month of training camp, the first 2 weeks of the season? Who is he? What's he like?
I mean, what you see is what you get. He loves his players. Every coach loves their players, but he's always interested in, you know, what a player got on, you know, calling, checking on guys, you know, just really connecting with them, you know, communication. And that's the biggest thing. So, he's a really good coach. And I think a lot of everybody, you know, loves him. They like playing for him. He what you see is what you get from him. You know, he's a realist. And that's all you can really – you know, you can expect that a lot from your head coach.
Yeah, and we saw how this transpired from afar with the, you know, the Peterson era coming to an end and the whole Carson Wentz thing. And it felt like, from our perspective, chaos. And as a result, it made us look at the Eagles going into this season like, oh, they're going to be the cellar dwellers of the NFC East. How did he address that to you guys? Or did he address it to you guys? Because you guys obviously aren't playing that way. So how did he overcome that perception that was out there about the Eagles?
He's knowing the personnel and knowing everybody that he has in that locker room. You know, I think we got a team that can win a bunch of games. We got a coaching staff that's coached a lot and, you know, that believe in their guys and just go out and let guys, you know, just, you know, play their style of ball. You know, obviously being coached, but at the same time, playing within the scheme and, you know, having fun while doing it, you know. I think that's the biggest thing that he's expressed, the little details, staying on the details every day. It's always about the details with him. And those are the details, you know, things like that. It goes in the back of your mind and you kind of see it just reflect on everything that we do, you know, reflect on everybody, you know, not that, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we're 1-1. I mean, and the best thing about it is we've seen highs already with a win in the first week. Now we've seen a low with a loss to a close game to a good team. And now is how do we respond? You know, we got the players in the locker room, got the leadership in the locker room to keep everybody, you know, on the upside of everything, just staying positive. So, and that's a really good thing, and that's what he teaches.
So we're talking to Fletcher Cox, and he's just, you know, Eagles 1-1, Dallas Sunday night, going to be all loads of fun here. You know, as you talk about Sirianni, I want to get into Jalen Hurts, want to get into some of the other, you know, the actual, like, Devontae Smith, and you guys are ranked very nicely statistically, defense is doing their thing. But I do want to follow up a little bit on Sirianni. Like, when you, this is your 10th year, you've been around the block, you're a champ, six Pro Bowls, as I said when I introduced you. Is it energizing when you have a new voice come in and you have to kind of reset everything and restart, or is it a little daunting slash annoying, or can it be both, actually?
I mean, if I said it was annoying, I mean, you know, it's definitely not annoying. It's just one of them things where you gotta reset and you gotta accept, you know, new personality from a different head coach. He's gonna want things done different ways, and you have to accept that. You know, you got to learn, you know, the entire new coaching staff. You know, you got to learn an entire new defense. You got to learn the way that Nick operates around it, the way he wants things done in his way, and things around the building done the way that he wants it done. And you have to respect that and can't let your ego get in the way, because, you know, you don't want to be a distraction or, you know, a problem on the team with a new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So take us inside your mindset. Again, you know, I've referenced this now, 10th year, so you've been around, man, and we all know you, we all respect you, and your read on the game is usually pretty astute. So when the season finishes a year ago, we saw what we got out of Jalen Hurts, a little small sample, some intriguing things, some concerning things. When Fletcher Cox entered last offseason, did you have complete conviction in your mind that when you came back for 2021, he was absolutely the guy?
I don't know. You know, I kind of leave those things up to the guys in the building. I mean, obviously, I just said in my last interview that, you know, I wasn't around a whole lot in the offseason, so I kind of didn't know what was going on. You know, I kind of, like, you know, take the offseason, kind of get that time to myself, work out, and make sure I'm in shape for training camp for whenever it's time to report. But obviously, whoever the starting quarterback was, or, you know, Jalen's the guy now, so, you know, you got to have his back and, you know, support him through the good and the bad. And, you know, he's second-year starting quarterback in the NFL, and there's got to be a lot of pressure on him, but we have to be there to get that pressure off him, you know.
Yeah, and he feels like he's got the composure to handle really anything, just, you know, given what he went through in college at Alabama, going to the college football playoff and then getting benched for Tua, then coming back and lead them, then going to Oklahoma. Like, he's got resiliency. Does that show up in his leadership of this offense from your perspective?
Yeah, for sure. You know, he always talked about attacking, you know, being aggressive and just attacking the day, you know, attacking whatever we're doing and competing. I mean, we compete a lot. We compete a lot against our offense. One-on-ones compete a lot, and, you know, that stuff carries over to Sunday. You know, he's real competitive with it, and, you know, obviously you got to love a guy that's anybody that's competitive with, you know, the things that we do in practice, competitive peers, and is actually a winner and a loser. And, I mean, he puts it on the board, and, you know, I always want the defense to come up winning, but, you know, we fall short sometimes, and, you know, luckily it's our guys we're going against, so you got to enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, no, you definitely do. But I wonder from your perspective, Fletcher, you've been on a winner, as BT mentioned. You've been on bad teams as well. Where do you see this team right now? Are you ready to be competitive in the postseason, or is it a work in progress with the new head coach, second-year quarterback, new wide receivers? Like, there's some remaking that could be done, even though defensively you guys are top five in the league and top two in scoring. You guys have been doing it on that side of the ball. Where's your expectation personally?
I mean, just take one game at a time, I think, for us, you know, especially with a different scheme coming in and, you know, some new faces on defense, some guys that's played in that kind of scheme, which is good, you know, with the addition of, you know, for me, is I think the biggest thing is that, you know, you see everybody hanging out with everybody in the locker room, in the cafeteria, in the meeting rooms, you know, no matter what position it is. And that's a good sign of guys being all on the same page, guys buying into each other, guys getting to learn their teammates, you know, things like that. And that's what it takes, you know, because we know that'll be good, bad, and ugly, you know. And at the same time, at the end of the day, you know, I want to be able to say something to Hargrave and him not to get offended about it. I want to be able to say something to Jalen Rager or Devontae Smith and them not to get offended about it. So, and just take it and go, no, you know what, he want me to be better at this right here, what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, he said something to me. But at the same time, Hargrave or Ryan is going to say something to me, and I got to have that same response. Like, I respect that, man. You know, thank you. And I think that's the direction that we're going in, is nobody's afraid to say, you know, to correct somebody, help somebody with, you know, anything. And, you know, and that's what I see. And with that right there, I think it can win a lot of football games.
It's a good environment. It's good stuff. Good workplace. Talking shop. Fletcher Cox of the Eagles, Monday night, obviously. We get into that. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Fletcher, you wash your own clothes?
I wash my own hunting clothes.
All right. Tell us about this initiative. This is the Tides Turn to Cold campaign. And this is really interesting because nobody even thinks about washing their clothes in cold water. But obviously the environmental benefits are large, and you can save on your energy bills as well. And in fact, there's a new washing machine that Tide is coming out with, the Tide Cold Washer, where it's a talking washing machine that tells you to wash in cold. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Absolutely. And not even if the Tide machine, the new washing machine that Tide is coming out will tell you washing cold. But if you go to Tide.com and sign up, you can win that washing machine. It'll have my voice on it.
Oh, nice. Are you, wait, are you going to be intimidating? Like, you better be washing your clothes.
Like Mr. T.
It's going to be pretty intimidating, so they don't have a choice but to wash their clothes in cold, their clothes in cold water and helping the environment and helping just save the world and obviously help keep a couple dollars in your pocket.
So yeah, yeah.
I'm excited about that. You know, I got to get my girlfriend and to start. You know, she's been on it, watching it in cold, knowing that we're saving money on the energy bill. But as I said, you know, you get a chance to win that washer with my voice on it, I think it'd be pretty cool.
Well, you're a soft-spoken guy off the field. You're a beast on it. So, like, if you bloody up Dak Prescott, would you ask to take his uniform and wash it for him after Monday night?
Dak's my guy. You know, we stayed at the same time. The year I left, I was there. He was there for his, you know, redshirt freshman, and I was there as a junior. So, you know, me and Dak would communicate, and you know, we're good friends. But I mean, he plays quarterback, and I play D tackle. So, you know. It'll be, you know, it's always fun getting after him.
Let me ask you this, though, because, you know, guys play with each other, and Tiki's told the story a few times, you know, where Rondé tried to tackle him, and, you know, obviously, they're brothers, and you guys are tight friends, a little different, but still the same. If you have a clean shot at Dak, do you take a little off because he's your buddy? Because you guys are boys, or do you still drill him?
Oh, man.
Come on.
I got a job to do, so. Look, if it's a good hit, you know, not done dirty. You know,
Yeah.
You want to fake the quarterback. You want to fake his throws. And if he's still holding the ball, you want to, you know, want him to feel you, you know, because that gets in quarterback's head. They feel that pressure. They feel you coming. And then when you hit him constantly and you got a good, clean shot on him, I mean, obviously you want to take it. And, you know, obviously, you know, you don't want to hurt anybody. But, you know, if you got a good, clean shot on him, you know, you want to take it and, you know, get the sack or the strip fumble or even just be disruptive and get the pressure and hit.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, you know, I kind of forgot that you guys were at Mississippi State together. At least you overlapped. And, you know, when he first came in and then ultimately gets into the league, he's a fourth-round draft pick, I believe, or fourth-round draft pick. Did you think he would turn into this guy who's really become a star? Did you see that early? Was there something about him, or is this kind of out of the blue like it was for a lot of people who weren't following him, I guess, closely enough?
Yeah, I saw it in him. I think I got it in the league, and I think it was a couple coaches I had mentioned it to. I was like, Dak Prescott is going to be quarterback in the NFL one day. And look at him now. You know, he's just got a big payday, and he's real competitive coming off of and a horrible injury and, you know, showing the world that, you know, that anything is possible. So it's a lot of respect for him. You know, he's a competitive, you know, he's obviously, you know, he want to win, you know, and I want to win. So it's going to come down to, you know, our defense versus their offense on Monday night.
It's always a fun time when you guys get together. The whole stage is yours Monday. We're looking forward to it. Philly and Dallas, Fletcher Cox, great player for the Birds, 6 Pro Bowls, a champion. Good rapping with you, buddy. And by the way, you know, what do you kill out there when you go hunting? We caught that. I mean, do you go for little birds? Do you go for big? What do you go for?
Nah, I'm not too much of a bird guy. I was going to shoot birds with some guys that want to go shoot some birds, but I'm more of a I like hunting whitetail.
Oh,
nice.
I got
nice.
You. All right. Pack a little dipper in that tree stand, right? Get a little lipper at 6 in the morning before you start chasing the animals. I get it. Thanks a lot, Fletch. Appreciate it, bud.
All right. Thank you, man.
Later, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back. We're going to get to the blast here in a moment. Tiki, though, is first up.
Got to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is
from Rory in Boise. Who Rory, do you blame?
My sister's dog's name is Rory.
Oh, nice. Guy I bought my house from is also Rory.
There you go, Rory. Rory Sparrow, the former point guard for the Knicks, went to Villanova.
Rory, yeah. Rory DeLuca lives right down the street from me now. Who do you blame more?
Rory McIlroy, the Ryder Cup.
And his daughter babysits for us. Who do you blame more for the Sixers' mess? Doc for his comments or Simmons for his play and behavior? I'm going to say Doc for his comments. Otherwise, it would have just been a speculative, outside the arena locker room conversation about what we think he should do or the team should do with Ben Simmons. When Doc commented after that game seven loss, it all of a sudden gave us entry into his thinking, into the organization's thinking.
That's a good read. I can co-sign that. I like it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I would say, while I'm largely with you, let's not fully absolve Ben Simmons not getting better at his job and being perhaps a little petulant and, you know, a little detached here and maybe a little overly sensitive. The biggest gripe that I have, and this is what I take away from his appearance on First Take today, is that it seems incredibly disingenuous, and it's very late in the process.
That's the biggest issue, is it's so late. He had months. Yes.
June 20th was game
and
seven.
I know he tried to talk to Ben Simmons.
They did talk.
And yes, they tried to smooth this out, but Ben Simmons, with his agent at Clutch Sports,
Rich Paul
decided to double down, for lack of a better word, description, and now he's trying to save face, I guess, for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he necessarily cares, but as we talked about this yesterday, the 76ers are in a tough spot because they can't move him. Nobody really sees him as a fit. And, I mean, there are teams that obviously would fit well with Ben Simmons, would fit well.
He's just
with
not getting three ones and three rotation guys, which is what they're still asking for.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
So they've mismanaged the potential exit.
Listen, the Warriors, Joe Lacob, their owner, one of them said, not happening, not a good fit, you know, basically repetitive in terms of what Draymond doesn't shoot, spacing, et cetera, contract is too big. So I guess you rule the Warriors out. We'll take Joe at his word. But I'm going to still keep the Portland Trailblazers as a team to just an eye on. No, for McCollum. For C.J. McCollum.
I mean,
yep.
That would
for
work.
For C.J. McCollum.
That actually is the ideal one.
I've always liked that, and I think it's time that Portland breaks up the backcourt.
True. The problem is more than McCollum would have to come.
Yeah. You get McCollum. I mean, if C.J. McCollum and two ones.
I gotta look at their
roster. Yeah, C.J. McCollum and two ones, and we'll make them both protected. Not that they'll need to be, because they'll probably be a playoff team with Simmons and certainly with Dame.
Yeah.
But you want to just ensure, you know, guard against the protection, something bad happening, you know, two ones.
That's actually
CJ, another rotation piece they might like, and a one. You know, I have to look at their roster a little more thoroughly, but I don't know how Portland keeps going to the well with that backcourt, and I don't know how Ben Simmons resolves his issue with Philly in 9 days. I just don't know how that's
going to
happen.
No, it's not going to. There's a lot of, I mean, there's a few guys, there's a few pieces on this. Norman Powell, you can include.
Powell's good.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Who else we got there?
Well, Cantor. You want to offload Cantor?
Nah, Enes Kantor does nothing for them. Good offensive rebound, horrendous defender.
But just depth for the, I'm talking about for the 76ers.
I know. Nah, I don't want Enes Kantor if I'm Sixers.
Harry Giles maybe?
Giles from Carolina?
Duke.
I mean, from Duke, Harry Giles? It's not going to do anything for me now.
Yeah, I'm just trying.
I hear you.
Seeing who's interesting.
And what's McCollum making on the year? He's well over $20 million for sure.
Yeah, McCollum's.
Do you have a salary in front of you? You got to match up within a percentage. Otherwise, more bodies would have to move.
McCollum for 2021
is what? 20 what?
No, he's 35.
Is he up to? Oh, he's got the extension.
No, 30.
He's up to 30 still. It's a little more than I thought. 30, I thought it was more mid 20s.
Just under 31.
Oh, okay.
22, he's 33. Okay. And 23, he's 35.
Okay. Mike, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
Well, Nurkic. He's 26.
I like him.
Hurt,
but now you got a gaping hole. Who's playing front court for the Portland Trailblazers?
Yeah.
I like Jokic, but he's always hurt.
You want to put Simmons down there, you know, play small?
Keep away from Dame? I mean, that's not the worst idea.
Yeah. I mean, I maybe.
And it's probably easier to build the third piece if you have Dame and Simmons in the backcourt to fill in that front court where Nurkic was.
Yeah.
It's probably easier than trying to fill
in. The problem with Nurkic is that
he's actually not that good of an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this a little bit. He gets exposed sometimes defensively.
The wrong matchups, he's going to be exploited. Yeah, but he's a good player.
Oh, he's a very good player. He's a good NBA player. I'm not saying that at all, but he's not running the court. He's not. I mean, but maybe that's what the 76ers
need. How tall is Jokic?
6'11".
I was going to say 6'10", 6'11".
6'11", 290.
I mean, that's a body that, you know what, if you meet the Hawks in a play, you know, Capella, who just destroyed the Knicks with the dunks.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a leaper, but at least he's 6'11", 280.
Yeah.
He's about 280, right? Something like that.
280, 290.
Big body.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could back up. I don't know. I don't know if there's – here's the thing. With Simmons, I don't think that there's a perfect trade. But it really seems like there needs to be a trade.
Well, something needs to happen in Portland.
Yeah.
And something needs to happen in Philly.
I'm with you.
It's cross-conference. So it makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if we have time for the Blaze, but I want to get back to something that – I want to bring this to the table. I want to be fair. I want to be responsible with this. So we had Bones Bakay on earlier. Awesome chat. Go check it out. Mike's got some clips up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney, Odyssey, the app, the full segment. Anywhere, you know, that podcast, Apple, iTunes, wherever you want to get it, you get it. But at the end, we asked him about Tiger Woods. It was all about Ryder Cup, the dynamic, team dynamic versus individual sport usually. He was great. So if you're a Ryder Cup fan, you want to hear that. But we asked him about Tiger Woods. We said, no, we haven't heard anything about Tiger.
Yeah.
And we're not going to ask you, is he coming back? Is he going to play in the Masters? That's exactly how I framed it. But we said, what are you hearing about Tiger Woods? Because he's incredibly piped in. He told us that he's hearing that Tiger Woods is way ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
So
whatever that, but
what do you think that means? Let's examine that for 2 minutes. Nobody has said that about Tiger Woods since the car accident.
And again, I don't think
he said it on this show.
I don't think it's him getting ready to play golf. I think it's him, because remember, there was some thought that he might not walk again because of the severity of some of his injuries. It was to his legs and probably his back as well, which has already been jacked up a couple of times. I think that means he's up and moving around consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a fear that he might, you know, be in a chair or assisted walking for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, ahead of schedule means that maybe he's walking on his own, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that long ago. It feels like it was a while ago, but it really wasn't that
long
ago.
Was it in the spring?
I forget when that was.
It's obviously before the Masters, which is in April. So I guess, was it February?
Yeah, I think.
Because I feel like it was a month after Kobe passed, not the same year.
Yeah.
But I feel like Kobe was like January.
It was like around the anniversary of Kobe passing.
Close to it, right?
Yeah, I want to say February or so.
That's what I'm feeling. I don't think he's out there striping 5 irons right now. I'm certainly not here saying that. But I kind of take away the same feel that he's regained functionality to his body that allows him to function normally, somewhat normally, far quicker than anybody anticipated. But, I mean, getting on a tee box is the last thing that matters right now for Tiger Woods and Tiger Woods' life. But we know Tiger is the golfer.
Yeah.
So while we all root for Tiger to, you know, conquer his pill demons and...
It was February, by the way.
It was February, okay. We all root for him to be in a good place mentally and he seemingly has gotten there. I mean, there's not a golf fan alive that doesn't somewhere deep down say, man, does this guy somehow will himself back to it? Forget about win.
Yeah.
Does he ever just get out there and tip the cap and before he hits a tee shot? I mean... Maybe he does.
I think the issue is that a lot of people didn't realize how severe the accident was. And so they
just see the car. How do you not know that?
Agreed, but they hear he survived and he's fine. He's in the hospital and then he's home. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize, but he might not walk again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if he ever gets back on a tee box, even if it's, you know, just ceremonial.
Like more symbolic.
It's an accomplishment. It'll be cheered and it'll be... As Bones told us, he's loved, man. These guys love him.
Yeah.
Mainly because he brought the sport to a level that it probably wouldn't have got to without him.
But also because Tiger changed. Tiger opened up.
Yeah, of course.
Tiger
emitted
warmth.
Became vulnerable.
You vulnerable, great word. I mean, Tiger on the tour was, you know, show up, park the Mercedes, get out of his car with his caddy, Stevie the Vigilante Williams. Mm-hmm. God forbid you look at Tiger, he's gonna push you. And then Tiger, head down, cap down, locker room, didn't really hook up with a lot of guys, didn't have many friends, did his own thing, and bludgeoned people. And then he did. He just loosened up, and he came boys with some of the young guys, Justin Thomas and Fowler, and they have fun, and he is absolutely revered. That was really interesting. But anyway, Teak, have a great Wednesday night, bud.
You too, brother.
Appreciate it. Everybody out there, you do the same. Safe, sensible, and sane. We'll catch you tomorrow. Peace!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.